Table for Two, Part 4 of the RSVP series, written by 36 Save Files, read by Argentum Lupin. Whiskey neat, you know what I like. Nisha seats herself at the bar right in front of where Jack is shelving glasses. He has people for this now, but he likes to keep his hand in, keep an eye on how things are running on the ground in the restaurant. So do you have plans for the big day? Jack leaves the last glass on the countertop and reaches under the bar for the bottle he keeps for special occasions. Of course I do, he scoffs as he pours. We've got a special menu planned, a string quartet, and I bought out the florist down the street. The tables are booked solid. I've got this sweetness. He turns around to hand Nisha her drink, and only then does he notice the disapproval writ clear on her face. What, you think the string quartet is too much? It's Valentine's Day, people eat that shit up. Jack, Nisha says, very slowly and clearly, as if explaining something to a small child. I meant, what are your plans with Reese? The you dumbass is unspoken but clearly implied. Jack freezes. Oh my god, you don't have plans! Nisha rolls her eyes and tosses back her drink. You are such an idiot, I swear! Jack is not panicking. He can fix this.
I can fix this.
Nisha looks skeptical.
How? It's February 10th. You just told me your own restaurant was booked solid. What do you think the rest of town's going to be like?
Maybe he doesn't care about that stuff. Flowers and dinner and all that.
Jack is not panicking. Nisha raises an eyebrow. Are you willing to risk it? Jack isn't. 1 hour, one brainstorming session, and several purchases later, thank God for the internet, Jack feels like he's got a handle on this.
Give me that list, Nisha says, grabbing it out of his hands and scribbling something on the bottom. You forgot something.
I already told you skywriting is too much. I want to hit the classics, not scare him off.
Nisha snorts at that, which Jack magnanimously ignores. Jack leans over the counter, but he knows better than to grab something out of Nisha's hands before she's finished with it.
What did I miss?
Nisha shows him. Jack drops his head in his hands.
Nish, no.
I'm telling you, this is a classic.
Nisha shoves the paper back in his hands, where she's written lingerie at the bottom of his very reasonable Valentine's Day checklist and circled it 3 times.
It's not any worse than what you've already set up. And don't tell me you don't want to see those long legs and something lacy.
I just said I'm trying not to scare him off,
Jack grits out. He doesn't answer the other part. There's no point. Nisha knows him too well.
If you're not helping, you can leave.
This is helping.
Nisha pulls out her phone, and Jack doesn't catch on to what she's doing until it's far too late. He swears and makes a desperate grab for the phone. He values his fingers, he really does, but desperate times and all that. But she holds it just out of reach until she's finished texting. Jack finally grabs it away from her, but when he checks the screen, he can see that the damage is done. Sure enough, a few seconds later, there's a buzzing from his own phone. Incoming call, Reese. With a sinking feeling, Jack accepts the call.
Hey, pumpkin, how's it going?
Maybe he can salvage this.
Should I be concerned that your ex-girlfriend is asking for my measurements?
Reese sounds more bemused than angry, at the very least. Jack tries for a chuckle, but it comes out weak.
Oh, you know Nisha, such a joker.
Jack catches her eye and draws his finger across his throat. You're dead. But Nisha doesn't seem fazed by this very serious threat and just folds her hands underneath her chin, waiting. Reese says, Then there's silence on the line. Jack, because he may be panicking just a little, tries to fill it.
So, the 14th, you and me, dinner here at Hyperion. How does that sound? Sounds great, right? I think so. Does 7:30 work for you?
Reese makes a small considering noise.
Is that what this is about?
What I'm about is trying to make a date with my boyfriend.
Jack stumbles over the word, but he recovers.
With you. So you'll be here?
Reese's voice is warm on the line, and Jack can tell he's smiling.
I'll be there. I've got to run, Jack. I'll talk to you soon.
Sure thing, Cupcake.
It's only as he's thumbing the call off that Jack realizes he's smiling, too. Nisha rolls her eyes at him again, if possible harder than before, and rescues her phone from where Jack's dropped it on the counter. It buzzes faintly, but she ignores it as she tucks it back in her pocket. He's far too good for you. You know that, right?
Yeah,
Jack thinks, looking down at his phone.
I know.
Running a restaurant means Jack is always busy, and this is especially true on a holiday. There are last-minute details to arrange, staff to yell at, and an extra table to work into the seating arrangements, because Jack wants to make Reese happy, but he is not going to risk his burgeoning reputation by canceling one of his reservations for Valentine's Day of all days. So, cancel no, squish into a corner yes. He's maneuvering the last table into position himself when his phone vibrates in his pocket. He checks it, and it's a confirmation for the first delivery he sent to Reese's apartment. Excellent. He's really pulled this one off well, if he does say so himself. He gets two more notifications over the course of the afternoon, but it isn't until he's ducking into the back to freshen up for opening that he realizes he hasn't heard a word from Reese. His hands slow as he adjusts his collar. Huh. Maybe Reese has been out all day? But all the deliveries needed to be signed for, so... Jack shakes himself. It doesn't matter. Reese will be here in a few short hours, and he probably wants to thank Jack in person for the thoughtful gifts. Jack grins at himself in the mirror. Nailed it. Reese arrives at Hyperion at exactly 7:25 p.m., and Jack is busy, but not too busy to notice his entrance. He does, after all, have people for this now. In a room full of people dressed to impress, Reese still turns heads, and Jack preens a little when Reese's face lights up as Jack approaches. Jack slides a hand along Reese's hip and underneath the tailored jacket just because he can, and to feel the way Reese leans into it. Ready for dinner, babe? Jack settles his hand on the small of Reese's back. He still gets a thrill out of this, the way Reese goes compliant at a touch from Jack. I could eat, Reese says, relaxed and easy. His nose and cheeks are still red from the cold outside, and Jack resists the urge to kiss them. I hope so, because the chef's really outdone himself this time. Jack uses the hand he's got on Reese to guide him to their table, and Reese lets himself be steered. Dinner is delicious. Of course it is. Jack doesn't hire anyone less than the best. But Jack hardly tastes it because he's waiting for Reese to say something about what Jack sent him. Appetizers and entrees come and go, however, and Reese chats about his day and laughs at Jack's jokes and doesn't say a single word about the packages Jack knows he got. Their server clears the dessert plates, and as she's leaving, Jack decides that he can't take it anymore. So, anything interesting in the mail today, Buttercup? Any surprises? He's so transparent, he can barely stand it, but he has to know what Reese thinks. Reese hums and taps a finger on his lips, looking off to the side. Let's see, there was a grocery ad, a couple catalogs. Jack frowns. Did he get the wrong address? Oh, and there was a lovely flower delivery, roses and lilies, very nice, very classic. Jack smiles and leans back in his chair, picking up his glass. This is more like it. To which I am very allergic. Jack chokes on his drink. Reese carries on as if he hasn't noticed. There was also the color-coordinated balloon bouquet. Interesting choice to have "Damn, you're fine" printed on them. Okay, that had seemed a lot funnier when he'd arranged it. Reese snaps his fingers as if he's just remembered something. Or maybe you're referring to the bouquet of plush kittens. You like cats, Jack tries. This isn't quite going the way he planned. I do like cats, Reese replies gravely, but his eyes are laughing at Jack. I like them more when they're not on stems. All right, no more kitten bouquets, Jack grouses. Reese continues. And they were all signed from the handsomest guy you know, so naturally I assume they were from Vaughn. Ha ha. Jack is sweating, just a little. Are you saying you didn't like any of it? I didn't say that. Reese props his elbows on the table. I am impressed that you managed to pull it off all by yourself. Nisha helped, Jack admits sheepishly. And apparently neither of you know the meaning of the word restraint, Reese says. But he's smiling genuinely now, and Jack feels the tightness in his chest loosen. Hey, I can be restrained. I restrain myself all the time. You should have seen what she wanted me to get you. Jack is interrupted by their server returning with the worst possible timing, and who is carrying a smartly wrapped box that she deposits in front of Reese with a, "This was left for you, sir." Reese laughs. More, Jack? You shouldn't have. I didn't, Jack mutters. He has a sinking feeling that he knows exactly what's inside that box, and who it came from. For a split second, he wonders if he can get away with snatching it out of Reese's hands, but Reese is already opening the top. Oh. Reese's face goes blank in surprise, then... Ah, measurements. Jack has to look, and as he tips the box toward himself, his worst fears are confirmed. Inside the tastefully wrapped box, nestled inside crisp tissue paper, is a set of very sleek, very expensive, very feminine undergarments. Jack drops his head in his hands and groans. I'm going to kill her. That's if Reese doesn't kill him first. You remember what I said about restraint? Incredibly, Reese doesn't sound angry. In fact, he sounds like he might be about to laugh. Maybe Jack can play this off as a harmless prank. I'm going to get a restraining order. Jack peeks through his fingers at Reese. You know those are a joke, right? He hopes he sounds convincing. Reese lifts the top piece slightly out of the box, letting the silky fabric pool and slip through his fingers. It's more distracting than it should be. What, you don't think I have the shoulders for it? Jack blinks. That is not how he thought this conversation was going to go. I mean, here it is, literally gift-wrapped. Reese continues, lifting his eyes to meet Jack's. He's nervous, Jack can see it, but he's not joking. There's a challenge there, daring Jack to say the wrong, or possibly the right, thing, and Jack loves that about Reese, how he pushes back when Jack least expects him to. And he's not about to turn down a golden opportunity like this. Jack drops his hands. Well, when you put it like that... It would be criminal, really, to let them go to waste. And if we're being honest, Honey Bear, he drawls, leaning forward, it's not your shoulders I'm thinking about in those things. Reese matches Jack, grin for grin, and Jack is struck again by the realization of how lucky he is to have this, for as long as he can hold on to it. Jack doesn't believe in karma. Can't, if he wants to sleep at night. And he's glad he doesn't, because there's no way he deserves to have Reese sitting across from him smiling over a box of lingerie that Jack's ex-girlfriend left for him. It makes Jack want to drag Reese into the back and blow him right then and there, but Jack can be patient when he needs to be. Reese fits the lid back on the box. His hands slide over the top, one metal, one smooth. And now he does look uncertain. And for a second, Jack wonders if he said the wrong thing, if he pushed too far, if he can take it back. But Reese surprises him again when he says, I got you something too. Reese digs a key out of his pocket and extends it toward Jack. I had this made for you. It's no kitten bouquet. Reese raises an eyebrow, and Jack knows he's going to be living that down for a long time. But I figured you could, you know, use it at my place if you wanted to. Reese bites his lip, and it's adorable. Jack's fingers close over the key in Reese's hand almost before Jack realizes he's reached for it. He weighs it in his hand for a minute. It feels heavier than it looks. It feels like a promise. Then the moment passes, and it's just a key. Jack tucks it into his pocket and catches Reese's hand across the table. Thanks, babe. I promise not to use it for evil. No promises on not swapping out all your underwear, though. Reese smiles indulgently at him, fingers a warm weight against Jack's. Oh, Jack, you have no idea what's in my underwear drawer. And for that, Jack has to tug him across the tiny table to kiss him, Reese smiling into Jack's mouth the whole time. Jack would like nothing more than to drag Reese immediately home after dinner, but this is a big night for the restaurant, and he has responsibilities. He leaves Reese at the door with a promise to come over later that night, and Reese leaves him with a kiss that has Jack ready to delegate as much as possible. Even so, Jack ends up staying at Hyperion later than he really wants to, but when he pulls up to the front of Reese's place, he can see from the street that the lights are still on. He uses his brand new key to let himself in. He's been to Reese's place before, but it's new and thrilling letting himself into Reese's space. Reese's space is currently dominated by the "Damn, you're fine" balloons, and Jack spots the infamous kitten bouquet on the couch. Seeing it in person, Jack can admit to himself that maybe he went the tiniest bit over the top. Reese, he calls, shrugging off his jacket. Sure, Reese gave him a key, but it doesn't hurt to be polite. In here, comes the answer, And the answer is coming from the bedroom. Jack grins, dropping his jacket on the kittens as he passes. It's been a long day, but when he gets to the bedroom doorway, the fatigue falls away in a rush. Reese looks like a mile of legs, just like Jack knew he would. A short robe frames his pale chest, but beneath it, Jack can just see the smooth black panties and the garter belt hugging Reese's hips. Sheer stockings with a single seam down the back encase his long, long legs all the way down to a pair of glossy, high heels with a delicate strap around the ankle. Reese looks like a wet dream come to life. Jack wants to wreck him. Reese has a couple of wine glasses and an expensive-looking bottle in front of him on the dresser. One of the glasses is almost empty. Reese has clearly started without him, and as Jack watches, Reese picks up the wine and starts to pour a second glass. He's pouring it left-handed, and as he turns, the sleeve on his right side flutters emptily. "Did you get everything taken care of?" Reese asks. Says Jack intelligently. This makes Reese smile, slow and promising, and he positively sways as he comes over. Jack accepts the glass, but his eyes never leave Reese.
Jack clears his throat and tries again. "Those shoes weren't in the box."
"No," Reese says easily. "The heels are mine." That goes straight to Jack's dick, and he sets the glass aside and crowds Reese back against the dresser. The wine looks good, but he'd rather chase the taste of it on Reese's tongue to have him humming and pressing himself against Jack. Reese is taller than usual in his heels, and it's a new experience for Jack to angle his head up for a kiss, but it's totally worth it for the way Reese sighs into his mouth. While he's got Reese's mouth occupied, Jack pushes the robe off his shoulders, right hand following it down Reese's arm. Reese breaks away with a gasp, and Jack takes the opportunity to bite down on the side of Reese's neck as payback for that shoulders comment earlier. Reese shudders gratifyingly against him, hand clenching on Jack's side. Jack nips underneath Reese's ear just to feel him shake again. There's so much Jack wants here. He wants his hands on those pretty stockings. He wants Reese writhing on his dick. He wants to make Reese scream. Jack wants to take Reese apart with his hands and mouth and leave nothing behind that isn't his name pressed into Reese's skin. Jack knows what he wants first, though. His hands drag down Reese's sides as Jack lowers himself to his knees, letting his fingers catch on the garter belt and panties in turn. He runs his fingertips along the top of Reese's stockings as he nuzzles against Reese's erection, already stiff and leaking, straining against the silky underwear. Jack rolls his eyes up to look at Reese's face. "Already hard for me, huh, baby?" Reese nods frantically, eyes wide and cheeks flushed. Reese is biting his lip again, and Jack is pretty sure he doesn't even know he's doing it. "You've been thinking about this? Because I've been waiting to get my mouth on you all night." Jack licks Reese through the fabric, and Reese's mouth drops open with a small choked sound. Jack hooks his fingers in the top of Reese's panties and pulls, grinning at the way Reese's cock springs free when he gets them past Reese's hips. Jack slides the underwear slowly down Reese's legs, and Reese steps delicately out of them when Jack reaches the floor, hand braced on Jack's shoulder for balance. Now that he's got Reese, or rather Reese's dick, right where he wants him, Jack starts by licking broad, flat strokes from base to tip. He swirls his tongue around the head for the way it makes Reese groan, and shifts his hands to Reese's hips to hold him steady as Jack works him deeper down his throat. Reese leans heavily against the dresser, and his hand comes up to pet hesitantly at Jack's hair. Jack hums gently around his cock to encourage him, and Reese bites back a curse as his hips stutter. That's more than enough incentive to keep doing it, in Jack's opinion, so he does it again, and Reese's hand fists in his hair. Reese is too polite to thrust into Jack's mouth, but Jack can tell he's close from the way his breath hisses between his teeth, and the way his muscles jump underneath Jack's hands. He's so pretty like this, flushed and wanting, but Jack wants to see Reese come apart for him, wants to see him shake. Jack hollows out his cheeks, pressing his tongue hard against the underside of the head, and just like that, Reese's whole body goes tense and he comes with a strangled noise. Jack swallows him down, throat working as he coaxes Reese through the aftershocks, and then Reese's hand is tugging in his hair, pulling him up. Jack follows, ignoring the way his knees protest, and Reese meets him with a sloppy but enthusiastic kiss, licking the taste of himself out of Jack's mouth. "Damn," Reese says with feeling when he pulls away. Quite the performance, handsome.
Oh, sweetheart. Jack purrs as he pulls Reese around and walks him backward toward the bed. I am nowhere near done with you yet.
Jack pushes, and Reese goes down in a pile of limbs in a faint squawk. Jack follows closely after, shedding shirt and pants and shoes. Reese props himself up on his elbow as Jack slides a hand up Reese's thigh and hooks a finger underneath one of the garter straps.
Those come off, Reese says, sitting up and fumbling for the clip, but Jack grabs his wrist and presses it back down onto the bed. Nuh-uh, sweet thing.
Jack grins down at Reese and snaps the strap against his thigh. Reese's dick definitely jumps at that, and Jack's own stiffens further at the little surprised noise Reese makes.
Those stay on.
Jack encourages Reese to turn over with hands on his hips, and Reese goes willingly, propping himself up on his knees and resting his head on his arm. Jack can't resist snapping another strap against the back of Reese's thigh, and Reese's whole body jerks this time, the noise he makes muffled by the bedspread. Jack runs his hands up Reese's thighs, palming the curve of his ass.
God, you look so good like this, all wrapped up for me.
Reese shivers as Jack spreads his cheeks and rubs the thumb over his hole. It slips in with hardly any resistance, and Jack raises an eyebrow.
Did you?
Reese shifts to shoot Jack a sly look over his shoulder.
You were taking too long in Hyperion, so I started early.
Jack replaces his thumb with a finger, and sure enough, Reese is already loose and slick. Jack adds a second finger, then a third, and Reese rocks himself back on Jack's hand with a little hum and closes his eyes.
Pretended it was you. This is better, though. Jesus Christ, pumpkin, you're gonna kill me!
Jack gasps out. He can picture it vividly. Reese slicking up his own fingers and carefully stretching himself, thinking about Jack. Did he bend himself over the dresser or use the bed? Did he moan out Jack's name when he did it? One day soon, Jack's going to ask for a repeat performance, but his dick is so hard it hurts and he needs to be inside of Reese right now. He pulls his fingers out and wipes them hastily on the bedspread, then lines himself up against Reese and pushes in. The feeling of Reese warm and tight around his cock pulls a groan deep out of his chest, and Reese moans prettily in answer. Jack stills for a moment when his hips are flush with Reese's ass, which is apparently too long for Reese because he shoves his hips back with a muttered, "Come on already!" Jack laughs.
Impatient.
He slaps Reese on the flank, and Reese yelps.
I like that.
Jack pulls back and thrusts into Reese, setting a slow but steady rhythm. Jack wants to take his time with this, to make it last. But it's hard to remember that when every thrust is driving breathy little moans out of Reese, and he buries his face in his arm to try to smother the sounds.
None of that now, pumpkin.
Jack tightens his grip on Reese's hips and adjusts his angle, aiming for Reese's prostate.
I want to hear you.
He knows he's successful when the next couple of thrusts tear a muffled wail out of Reese. Jack grins.
That's more like it.
He picks up the pace, wanting more of those sounds, telling Reese how good he is, words tripping over each other as he gets closer to the edge.
So good, baby, so good. Just for me, isn't that right? This is...
Jack's hips snap forward.
Just for me.
Reese groans into the bedspread.
Yes, Jack, just for you.
He cuts off as Jack gets a hand around his dick and starts stroking in counter time to his thrust.
Fuck, yes, anything for you, Jack. Just don't fucking stop.
Reese sobs out.
I've got you, kitten.
Jack's voice sounds low and rough even to his own ears. Jack has no intention of stopping, not when Reese sounds like he's 2 seconds away from begging. Although that is an interesting thought and one Jack wants to come back to later. He knees Reese's legs a little wider apart and molds himself to Reese's back, bearing him down to the mattress. Pressed against him like this, he can feel every little tremor that racks Reese's body as Jack pushes into him again. And Jack is close. He is so close. Nosing in against Reese's hairline, Jack bites down hard on the back of Reese's neck, and Reese screams. His body clenches down around Jack, and Jack manages a few more desperate thrusts before his orgasm catches up to him and he follows Reese over the edge. When he comes back to himself, he's still partially draped over Reese's back, both of them breathing hard. The bite mark he left on Reese's neck is going to be one hell of a bruise, and Jack brushes his lips over it in apology. Reese makes a happy, contented noise, and Jack figures he can't be in too much trouble. Much as Jack would like to crawl under the covers and immediately go to sleep, Reese still has to be divested of his shoes and what's left of the lingerie. Jack can't complain too much about another excuse to put his hands all over Reese, but it's calmer, less urgent, as he slips off the shoes and rolls the stockings down his legs. Reese makes encouraging but tired noises at him, and perks up just enough to maneuver himself under the covers. He rolls toward Jack as Jack slips into the bed next to him. "I appreciate the gesture, I really do, but you know you didn't have to do all that, right? The flowers and the balloons and the everything." Reese looks and sounds thoroughly well-fucked, which Jack can't help but take pride in. His voice is sleepy and his eyes are half-closed, but he's still watching Jack from underneath those long lashes. Jack leans over to kiss him, because what else is he supposed to do?
"Didn't want you to think I was slacking."
Reese huffs a laugh at that, and his eyes slip all the way shut. Jack waits, but that appears to be all that Reese is going to contribute for now. Which is fine. Jack is fine avoiding the feelings conversation. Jack turns and reaches for the light switch, then settles down next to Reese. He can't quite let it go, though, and some things are easier said in the dark.
"I just want to get this right,"
Jack says quietly into the space between them. Even though Jack literally had his dick in Reese not 10 minutes ago, this feels more intimate. He's pretty sure Reese is asleep, or close to it, so he's not expecting it when Reese's hand finds his in the dark. Their fingers tangle, and Reese brings their hands up to his mouth.
"You can stop worrying."
Jack can just barely see in the dim light, but he feels it vividly when Reese presses a chaste kiss to Jack's fingers.
"You're getting this right."
To be continued.